Hi, it's Leanne Dolan, and my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical, is out now and available everywhere. People magazine chose it as an April pick of the month, one of the best this week. A hopeful take on commitment, they said, and an innovative story about marriage. Sounds juicy. The Marriage Sabbatical, out now, available everywhere.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California with my two sisters. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. How's everything there?
I'm good, Liz, but I read in the New York Times this weekend that you're supposed to have planned your Thanksgiving menu 18 days out, and I haven't done it yet. So I guess I'm a little late, Liz. That's how I am this morning.
Okay, Leanne, how are you? Leanne Dolan, Pasadena, California.
I almost bought another turkey yesterday, like a turkey decoration. Then I realized I'm not hosting Thanksgiving because I'm redoing my kitchen. I just need to stop. I want to support Thanksgiving merchandise, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a good idea, Leanne. Yeah. Okay. Buy the turkey.
Okay. Well, yesterday was one of those days where you're just discombobulated anyway because of the time change. Can I just say, it's just like the worst. Last night it was like 8:02 and I was dying to go to bed. So I don't even know what to say about that.
Just move to Massachusetts. They're going to stop doing it. That's what they're threatening. Fourth time zone, Massachusetts. It's all moved to Boston. We don't have to do it.
Well, you know, sisters, as we begin yet another podcast, it is the unthinkable has happened again. And, you know, this, I just have been in and through so many towns in Texas that are like Sutherland Springs. And I just am just praying this morning. I'm just praying for that town and in particular for the Holcomb family, because they have to bury 8 of their family members. It's
hard to imagine.
It is. It's so horrific for that little town, for that community, for that congregation, and really for the country. And I hope that we can pray and act to do something about it. So that's how I just want to start the show. And we're thinking of you, Sutherland Springs, like we've thought of so many victims of these mass murders before.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Julie, since we did our show last Tuesday, there was also the attack in New York. So we've had two massive attacks since our last podcast a week ago.
Right.
It's just outrageous. And there's so many heartbreaking things about the New York attack. But the thing that really got to me the most was the picture of those guys from Argentina that all came to America together on vacation. They graduated from college together. They were in their late 40s. And, you know, my last job, I spent a lot of time in Argentina. My boss was Argentinian. The CFO was Argentinian. I just felt like, my God, I know those people. And just imagine what it's like to have your, like a college reunion, go somewhere special with your friends and then have a bunch of them mowed down. It was just so painful, so heartbreaking to look at that photo of them all so happy together on their holidays. So that's a heartbreaker, too.
Yep, I know. It does seem like every week we have to say something, but every week we have to say something. Mm-hmm. All right. We are going to do more on the show than that. We have a bunch of news stories, some headline news, some interesting updates in the Weinstein sexual harassment story. I know we said we weren't going to talk about it, but I think when we said we weren't going to talk about it, we had no idea it involved Mossad agents. So
exactly. Yeah. Spies. So now we have to talk about it.
Yeah, right. And then a follow up. Julie, you watched a TED Talk from Gretchen Carlson. She had some great information to pass along.
Three simple things if you're facing if you think you have a sexual harassment situation.
All right. An international news roundup is coming up. Also, Liz, you've been through your own HOA double hockey sticks, but now you have the federal government edition, right?
Yes, even at the federal level, Leon, things can go wildly wrong in homeowners associations. Details on that to come.
All right. Also, I know everyone's waiting to hear how my Thriller performance was last week, and it was a thrill. So I'm going to tell you all about that. We're going to try to get to an Operation Sea Turtle update. And Liz and I, Julie, had a close encounter with two possible Winter Olympians this weekend, two figure skaters. We spent a half an hour chatting with Ashley Wagner, the U.S. figure skater, and we're going to tell you all about it. She was fun. She was just a fun, smart, funny woman.
Yes,
so,
yes.
it was a completely delightful conversation. And as she heads off to get ready and hopefully make the U.S. Olympic team, we're going to give you some insight there.
But and then we have a couple of Facebook notes at the very end. Things you posted in the Facebook group. Don't forget, you can always join the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So I have shout outs to a handful of you.
Surge. What you post there. Membership surge this week, Liz. Membership surge. I like it. And also, Liz, Julie and I have to give you a Satellite Sisters salute because you have been working on the Satellite Sisters store diligently, every weekend, every day. Somehow you have actually mounted a Satellite Sisters store. We can't believe it.
I know. You're like the little red hen, Liz. You know, you asked for help. We didn't help you.
We didn't do one damn thing.
Nope, not one. I looked at some t-shirts.
Yeah. Thumbs up. Keep going.
Yeah. You were a little judgmental about a few things, but fine. That's what I asked for your opinion. Yes. So we launched an expanded product selection at the Satellite Sisters store. So instead of just the logo t-shirts, now we have a Stay Noisy collection. We have a You're the Best collection. We have a You Can't Make New Old Friends collection. And we have a special selection that just say Satellite Mister on them. So if you want to shop for the holidays, start now. You can find the store. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see that there's a Shop Now button on our Facebook page that we added. That will take you right to the store. Or if you go to our website, if you go to satellitesisters.com, right at the very top in the nav bar, you'll see where it says shop, and you just click there and it takes you through. And I got to say, my favorite item was, because I picked out all the products, is there's a little like infant onesie that says Stay Noisy on it. I thought that was such a good idea.
It is. It's pretty cute, Liz, especially for you. You don't really succumb to cuteness, but you did it. You designed
it. No, I just think you have to start the next gen off right. So let's tell the kids to stay noisy. So anyway, you can get there from our Facebook page or from our website. And enjoy. Shop. For yourself, too. We don't judge. You don't have to buy the stuff for other people.
No.
If you just want it all for yourself, be our guests.
I definitely would get one of those baseball hats. They're really comfortable and really cute.
Yeah, I ordered two yesterday. I didn't have one, so I ordered two. I'm psyched. Really, Liz, good work. We salute you. Julie and I salute you. Gold medal.
In our new baseball caps, Liz.
Gold medal.
You know what they say, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. That's Karl Marx, and I embrace that.
Okay. Gold medal. And speaking of gold medals, all right, Julie, this weekend, Liz and I were invited to a meet and greet, an event with the U.S. Olympic Committee's, their foundation. Okay, this is the piece of the U.S. Olympic Committee that raises money to support the American athletes that are training for the Olympics. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize, but the U.S. athletes are one of the very few athletes in the world that do not receive any funding from the federal government. Zero.
Still. I thought we had ended all that, like the charade of amateur athletics.
No. Nope.
I thought all of these at least had minimal support.
No, not from the federal government. None. Or state governments. So it comes from a bunch of different sources, from, you know, the Olympic Committee and the TV rights and the sponsors, but then also, you know, from citizens who enjoy the Olympics. And Liz and I are in that category now. We're not officially part of the Olympic family. It's very tempting. But we are citizens who enjoy the Olympics. So we were invited to this event by a friend of ours who works there. And it featured, we went for many reasons, but we went because it's 100 days out from the Olympics this winter. So if you're wondering, how am I going to get through another year? Hold on till February 9th. That's when the right? That's when the Olympics start.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're in Pyeongchang.
Or in South Korea this
South
year.
South Korea. Pyeongchang, be... South Korea.
Right.
And they tell us, the people who have been to site visits, they say everything is looking good there. It is a very cold, really winter Olympics, not like the fake Winter Olympics in Russia. It's going to be a winter Olympics. Very cold. Sights are looking good. Snow's going to be great. Ice, very cold. But we had the opportunity to really stand and chat with Ashley Wagner, who's a three-time U.S. national figure skating champion, 2012, 13, and 15. She's an Olympic bronze medalist in the team event. She's won the four continents champion. She is considered old for a figure skater, and in fact, fact, I believe I said that to her. She'll be 26 as she goes in to try to qualify for the U.S. Olympic team this year. And she was there with her best friend, also a figure skater, Adam Ripon. They're training partners. They've been friends since forever. They've been roommates. And he was the U.S. national champion in 2016. And he's trying to make the Olympic team at the ripe old age of 28. So, you know, sometimes with these athletes, particularly in sports like figure skating or gymnastics, these athletes can seem a little programmed. Not Ashley Wagner. She was so delightful and so funny. She answered all our questions about what was it like to be in Russia, where she said, I don't remember one thing.
Right, right. She just doesn't barely even remember skating her program, yeah. Julie. She said she was just so like out of her mind.
Terrified.
She doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Out of her mind because she was terrified to be at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Olympics was so overwhelming. Oh,
the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she couldn't go to the opening ceremonies because she had to skate the next day in that new skating team event. You know, they did that last time. I'd sort of forgotten that. But she had to skate the next day. She got out there on the ice and she saw those Olympic rings and she just disassociated from her body. And she said it's all a blur. Russia is like, so she hopes that if she gets to South Korea, she can focus a little bit more. What else did we talk about? Dorothy Hamill's haircut. We talked about how much we love Dick Button and how much we missed him skating, commentating. And Scott Hamilton, she's a big fan of that. And at one point, Julie, I'll just say this. She said to me, I don't know why you aren't commentating for figure skating at the Olympics.
Is that what she said?
Okay, yeah, Julie, I can actually testify that she said that to Leanne. She thought Leanne was so knowledgeable about skating and understood the nuance and the spirit of her sport that she really felt like Leanne could be added to the broadcast team.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about the difference between, how's her quad, Leanne? Can she, does she have a quad jump?
You know, we were talking about edging. We asked her about how ice is different in various rinks, soft ice and hard ice. She doesn't have a quad jump. She's a very lyrical skater. She's very dramatic.
I love skaters like that.
We asked her about what music she's performing her long program to, and she was gonna use the music from La La Land, and she just was, she was practicing with it, and she said it doesn't speak to me. I was getting bored at my own practices, so she's going back to a previous routine, which is risky in the figure skating world, as you know. But she will be skating to Moulin Rouge and for her long program, and she's very dramatic. She really feels the music.
That would be a good costume too. Yeah. Moulin Rouge. Yeah, that's going to work well.
We didn't talk about her costumes, but we did talk. She'd just been in New York doing press for the 100 days celebration. So they were, I know they were on the Today Show. She and like six or seven other name athletes for the Olympic Games. And she said, I said, oh, was that fun? She said, not really. She said, we were working from 6:30 till midnight. And she said, and she's tiny, of course, because she's a figure skater, but not subhumanly tiny, just a, you know, petite, fit athlete. And she said, I just hate wearing those big t-shirts that they give us, you know?
Julie, she was so funny. She's like, I thought I had to wear the t-shirt because I just do whatever they tell me. And then Lindsey Vonn showed up. She wasn't wearing that stuff. Lindsey Vonn looked fantastic. She had like on a leather jacket and some cute shoes. And I'm wearing a t-shirt and sneakers that they gave me. I'm like, how come Lindsey gets to wear whatever she wants? It was just adorable. It was adorable.
But then when she and Adam spoke to the whole group, they really talked about what it is like to train and be completely, totally poor. They both came from families that weren't wealthy. Ashley Wagner was a military brat. She moved 9 times in 10 years. She started skating when her father was stationed in Alaska. She thought it was really cool that the kids just skated on the parking lot. So that's when she started skating. But they both talked about the financial hardships and the sacrifices that their parents had to make for them, the family had to make, because Adam is one of 6 kids, I think he said. And so both of them kind of emancipated themselves when they were 18, or they're legal adults. So they said to their parents, you don't have to pay for it anymore. You're done. Like you're not. Yeah. So they were
skating lessons, and skating time is expensive.
Expensive.
Well, I mean, all these sports are expensive.
Yes.
You know, it's a huge commitment for the family.
And that's, they talked about living together and training in California, moving out here and rooming together. And they were so poor, they were stealing the free apples from the gym at the resort and the tea bags, tea bags. So, they were very grateful for the support. And you know, I think that made them very interesting athletes to talk to and talk with, because they had been on their own. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have those parents that showed up at everything. Like Ashley said, her mom only comes when it's in a good spot.
Yes.
Like Nice, France.
They're going to be skating in Lake Placid over Thanksgiving, Julie. So Ashley said her mom was coming because she was very excited to go to Lake Placid. So, of course, we told her about our Lake Placid experience at the Olympics when we went up for the Winter Olympics there.
So she went home. She went home and said she met the two like kookiest women, like Olympic freaks. Right. That's what she said. No,
maybe.
Yeah, but we are. So we're wishing now we know who to root for. We said we're going to get the whole Satellite Sisters to root for the two of you. We're so happy to meet them. It was a good story. It's a reminder that those athletes are out there training, and that in February for 2 weeks, we can just watch them instead of everything else that's happening in the world. So it was really wonderful to meet her. And then she took a photo with me, which was really nice. And so I'll post that later when we post the show.
Okay. Well, that sounds very inspiring.
And I
like it that we have somebody to root, Satellite Sister, you know, that we have people to root for already.
Yes. One other detail, Ashley's boyfriend was with her.
Oh,
he was also a former Olympian, a speed skater, but he is now in the White Sox farm system. He's a baseball player. And I don't remember his name. Do you remember his name, Liam?
He didn't really introduce himself. So, yeah, he won a silver medal in short track speed skating. He grew up in Miami. So he talked about like how impossible that was. Like he just trained on rollerblades because they didn't even have ice. And then after he won his silver medal, he was very humble. He just talked about that. And then Ashley's friend Adam said, oh, yeah, he's now with the White Sox organization. So obviously a very good athlete. But he was holding her purse. Because that was his job.
That's a nice boyfriend.
Yes. Yep. He wasn't planning on speaking. So he's the bag man for Ashley Wagner.
And she is a dynamo. So yes, we can all sign up to be on her team. I know we have lots of Satellite Sisters who are big skating fans.
Yeah.
So keep your eye on Ashley Wagner. Okay. Speaking about like other not so great things going on in the world.
Or keeping your eye on things, right?
Yeah, exactly, Julie. So there's breaking news today. I'm just going to put it under the headline of creepy guy doing super creepy things with lots of help from people that you didn't think were creeps. Okay, that's what this story is about. It is about Harvey Weinstein hiring spies from all kinds of private security firms like Kroll, ones you've heard of, like big companies like Kroll, but then this other one called Black Cube. And some of these are former Mossad agents, and they're all engaged in hunting down any of the women that might have come forward to speak out against Harvey Weinstein and what he had done to them, and any of the journalists working on stories about him. So for a year, he's had this giant spy campaign going on where they're doing things like, there's one, you know, a lot of it's Rose McGowan who has spoken out a lot. And so there's a lot of in the story, which is all over the news today, but that it was published in The New Yorker. Rose McGowan tells how this woman pretended to be a woman's rights advocate. She was really like one of these spies hired by Harvey Weinstein, and like called her and secretly recorded four different meetings. Like, Rose, we want to support you. Tell me what's been going on with you. Like really ingratiating herself to Rose McGowan that she was going to be the one to speak up for her, just so she could get the dirt, Leon, on what Rose McGowan was willing to say about her. And she would, not only would she record all of these conversations, but then those recordings went directly to Harvey Weinstein through his law firm, and the guy at the law firm in charge of this whole spy campaign was David Boies, a super famous lawyer, who you may know because he argued in front of the Supreme Court for Bush v. Gore, and also for the Marriage Equality Act. So he's one of the most famous lawyers in the United States. So all of this work was being done under the direction of his firm.
Wow.
And they do that. I did not know that. They do that because then any of the documents that get generated are covered under attorney-client privilege. So they use these lawyers to create these big smear campaigns, and nobody's allowed to see the documents. But somehow Ronan Farrow, like, got all these documents. The story, did you read the story, Julie? It's amazingly detailed.
It's diabolical. It's really diabolical. And you begin to think about the courage that it takes for women to step forward, or men to step forward, and to make, you know, an accusation against a powerful person. Because these are the kinds of resources that powerful people have. That not, it is not a fair playing ground. It is not, the truth will not necessarily set you free, you know? I mean, when you hear this story that they had spies, Mossad spies, you know, pretending, and that to gain your confidence when, you know, you're in your most vulnerable situation, right? When you're trying to speak out against something, you know, to stay noisy, as you say, Liz. I mean, it is shocking. And that it would, and that legitimate companies like, you know, like security firms and this fancy law firm, you know, with, you know, that probably has lots of very legitimate clients, that they would be doing this kind of work, you know, it's just, it really.
And they also, they were also going out doing the same thing against the journalists that were hunting down the story. So Ben Wallace at New York Magazine, Jody Cantor at the New York Times. It was the New York Times that first broke this story. They all knew that they were being followed, or people would call them up with these fake accents and would try to engage them in conversation. Or, I mean, it is just so creepy when you read this.
I have to read the story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Of course, the National Enquirer is involved. And it's just, it's insane the level at which they were willing to operate to smear any person who was going to come forward with information. And the contracts, which are quoted in detail in the New Yorker story, they specifically say, we are, you know, hiring you, Black Cube, or you, Kroll, to prevent the publication of a story in the New York Times about blah, 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 blah. So there's no, they're not pretending it's anything. It's not. This was really to shut down any information gathering so that Harvey Weinstein could continue to just prey on all of these women. It is shocking. And you're right, Julie. The best word is diabolical. It is diabolical.
So
I don't know. Creepy guys doing creepy things. I thought I was kind of over it and couldn't be surprised. But this is sort
this,
of.
This really took my breath away, because then you just see the, you know, the resources that these powerful, diabolical people can bring to a situation. It really speaks to the courage of these women and these men that have come forward. There's a new TED Talk that's posted online from Gretchen Carlson. She is the former Fox anchor. She is the one that first brought charges of sexual harassment against Roger Ailes, who was head of the Fox News division there. And she has three simple things that she said that, you know, men and women that feel that they are in a situation where they're being sexually harassed. She said you need to do three things. Number one, you need to get a lawyer, because the first thing you need to check is statute of limitations. You know, I mean, for a lot of these cases, these things happened some time back, but, you know, people just had to deal with it because they were, you know, they just couldn't, it wasn't the right environment to come forward. So you do need to know about the statute of limitations. You do need legal advice on that. Number two, you need to document everything. You need journals, you need tapes, you know, whatever it is. And then she also recommends that you tell at least two colleagues, not one, but two colleagues in your organization. So that you have sort of a triangle, you know, to build a case, because look at what you're going to be up against.
Right.
Possibly it could be up against
Mossad.
You know,
Mossad. Exactly. And, you
know, I mean, that is so, you know, it just really underscores it. But, you know, hopefully more people will feel that they can come forward and we can get a better climate for people to work in, for goodness sakes. Right.
Right. Right. Which should be the goal. right? Just right. Everybody, just treat each other with respect. That's all we're trying to accomplish here. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's nothing too radical.
No, right. That's true, Liz. It's not tricky. It's not. There's no trap. Women aren't trying to trap you into this. It's just. Right. Yeah.
It's all about civility. All right. Let's do our best.
Let's do our best. All right. We have are going to take a break here, have a couple words from our sponsors. And then when we come back, Julie has an international news roundup. And I have the thrill of thriller. Just going to give you the details on my
star-studded performance.
All right. Stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters.
It's Julie Dolan, a.k.a. Urban Nana.
All right, we're back. We have a lot happening. Julie, you got the international news roundup.
I do. You know, no, October was not a good month to declare independence. Two independence movements that were, you know, active in the month of October. Things look bad in the month of November. First of all, the state of Catalonia, you know, now the Spanish government has sort of really cracked down, and they've decided to totally dissolve the Catalonian parliament. They've dismissed the president. The president of that region is now in Belgium. He is along with four ministers, and they stand accused of rebellion. So if they return to the country of Spain, they're in jeopardy of ending up in court and possibly prison time for that. So
yeah, rebellion sounds like a serious charge.
Yes, it does sound like a serious. I mean, that sounds different than what the people of Catalonia were doing, which was to express independence. So so that has not gone well for that country. The same is true with the country of Kurdistan, the semi-autonomous region in northern Iraq. The president of that country, after they declared independence, the government of Iraq really cracked down on them. None of their allies, including the United States, stood up for the Kurdish people. The president of Iraq, Barzani, has had to resign. And the 14 Kurdish members of the Iraqi parliament now face death sentences for voting for independence. So these are really tough situations. Yeah, mm-hmm. That these were people that, you know, whether they were ill-timed or whether they were, you know, whether or not they had the right to do it or not, they expressed a desire to have an independent state. And that they didn't have the support from their allies or from other groups. In the case of Catalonia, perhaps the EU could have stood up for them, you know, and certainly in the case of Kurdistan, the United States could have stood up for them. And because none of their outside allies did, these movements did not succeed. And now the consequences for those leaders are pretty serious. So
I know you read this stuff in the headlines, Julie, and you think, well, that's just some crazy thing happening somewhere. How could that be? But it's not crazy. It's really happening. And it's very serious.
It's very serious. So I will continue to monitor the situation. But it's just it is amazing what difference a month could make, you know, where there was great momentum with both of these independence movements. And now there's not. Can we talk about Saudi Arabia and what happened over the weekend where princes and ministers were arrested in an anti-corruption crackdown? And what I think is an interesting detail of this kind of power play is that all of these people that are being arrested are being held at the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh.
It could be worse.
They're sleeping in the ballroom. Do you see they're in mattresses in the ballroom, which is, I know, many of them find very humiliating because these were ministers, and they include, you know, one of the richest men in the world, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, who's worth like $18 billion and is a major investor on Wall Street and a major investor in all kinds of companies. I don't know if he's on a mattress in the ballroom, but he's in the Ritz-Carlton. They've got them all,
which is funny because he owns the Four Seasons, you know. I'm sure it's humiliating to him to even be at a Ritz-Carlton, never mind at a mattress on the floor in the ballroom.
Yeah, not good at all. But this is considered a consolidation. Perhaps it's an anti-corruption move, but it also is a consolidation of political power by the new young crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who is now in line to become the next, you know, to be the next leader of Saudi Arabia. And I guess many people are viewing this as a way to just get rid of all of his political opponents or people that might oppose any of the, you know, any of his authority. So just round him up and put him in the Ritz. So I don't know what they're going to do with him. I assume they're going to put him on trial. But in the meantime, they're in the ballroom. So
we shouldn't laugh, but it's right. That is a funny detail.
It is a little odd. Okay. Yeah. Leanne, okay, and Liz, you got to know about this, the new hot form of parenting. Okay, forget, move over to the French. You know, the French, for a while, there was a book out about how to raise yourself a nice little French child because that was going to be the in thing. Now you want to go the Danish way of parenting, Leanne.
Of course.
Because apparently you're going to raise the happiest children in the world if you do this. And the key to this is something called skolfritid ordninging. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure I said that correctly.
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure that sounded perfect. And I love this because wait till you hear what this is. This is the key to raising really happy children. It's free time play outside after school. Now, you remember our dear departed loving mother. What did she say to us every afternoon after school? She told us in such loving words, she said, don't come back until 5 o'clock, right?
Right.
She said, back door is locked. You cannot come in, right?
Yeah.
And she made us play outside. She made us skolfritin or dindining. See, we didn't even know that.
No supervision. It was just really change your clothes. Now go out there and don't come back until dinner.
That was it, right? Okay.
And or come back in time to set the table.
Right. I was going to say you had to be back to set that table or else you were in trouble. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so people are really getting on that, like, you know, that they think that's good. But the Dutch, you know, they feel like they have some parenting tips that, you know, are producing really high quality children. And the key to the Danes. No, the Danes had the happiest kids.
Okay, but so the Dutch are competing.
Now the Dutch, they're competing, Leanne, and they have some ideas about, you know, how to really produce high quality kids. Here's the first tip: chocolate sprinkles on the toast. Okay, that is it. Okay, there's a whole book. This is what you buy this book. That's what you're going to learn: chocolate sprinkles on the toast. And the second one. Now this one. I don't know about it. Maybe that's why the Dutch children are so happy to allow teenagers romantic sleepovers.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
Mm.
It's not a thing for me, but it's a thing for people. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we have a tough time with that in America.
I have a tough time with that. In fact, I didn't want any sleepovers of any kind, romantic or otherwise. I outlawed those.
Again, that was Edna's legacy.
That was just like a free pass to let your children roam around in the streets. That's what I figured when they became teenagers. That's what sleepovers meant. Okay, sadly, you know, when they did the survey of parenting techniques, nobody wants to raise their kids like Americans. Did you know that? Nobody.
Oh, really?
No, they don't want to raise their kids like Americans. Nope.
What do they perceive us to be? Uptight?
Just uptight, too much of helicopter parents. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So they don't want that. The other country that is not doing well on parenting is Russians. They don't want their
kids to be spies and trolls.
Yes, apparently not. Apparently not.
Liz.
But the final one, the one that is, you know, is giving the Danes and the Dutch some competition would be the Germans, because they also have a style of raising kids that sort of focuses on self-reliance. So they believe in letting their children play with sharp knives and to light matches.
I believe in that.
Is there a good German word for that, Julie, like Farfignugen or something?
Achtung baby. Okay, that's what So there you have it. It's sort of a potpourri of international news stories, but you know, it does make us think about, you know, different methods of raising children and getting various results. But I think we can draw on some of those. Maybe light some matches, throw some sprinkles on the toast. But I say a big no to the romantic teenage sleepovers.
Thanks, Urban Nana.
Okay. All right. I want to move on to a story that really got my attention because, you know, I have shared with you on Satellite Sisters over the recent weeks and months, the ongoing saga that I call HOA HE double hockey sticks. That's my homeowners association hell that I live in. And we've had some disputes between neighbors, which have gotten pretty serious. And but, you know, I think that lots of people who have to live in proximity, you just need to learn to respect boundaries, respect some rules, and respect each other. So in today's news, I saw the headline that really got my attention because it's really HOA, HE double hockey sticks, the federal government edition. This is, did you read about the attack on Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky? Now, I don't mean
that's very odd.
It's very odd. So, yeah. So here's the info, Julie. This is, here's the first paragraph in today's story. The violent altercation last week that left Senator Rand Paul nursing bruised lungs and broken ribs began over, guess what? A landscaping dispute between the senator and his longtime next door neighbor. So they're not sure exactly how it boiled over, but apparently Mr. Paul had just stepped off a riding lawnmower when his next door neighbor charged him and tackled him. And because Mr. Paul was wearing sound muffling earmuffs, he did not realize that this guy was coming after him. So once they looked into it, they realized there was this long-running dispute between the two because it says Mr. Paul has long stood out in the well-to-do gated neighborhood south of Bowling Green, Kentucky, that he calls home. The senator grows pumpkins on his property, composts, and has shown little interest in neighborhood regulations. There we go.
He's the libertarian.
Libertarian next-door neighbor, and apparently it really came down to stray yard clippings, newly planted saplings, and unraked leaves, sisters. Unraked leaves. That's it. So they interview all these people in the neighborhood, and they're like, yeah, this has been going on for a while. I mean, they have very different political points of view, but it's really about the leaves. And this one neighbor, who is also some kind of local politico, said, Mr. Skaggs also said the senator, quote, certainly believes in stronger property rights than exist in America. Anyway, so I'm sorry he's injured. I don't mean to make fun of that. But this is sort of the neighbor on neighbor violence that can happen when people just don't accept a certain set of rules. Like, let's just all rake our leaves. OK, can we all rake our leaves? Apparently, he's not into the raking of the leaves.
Yeah, or don't move into a gated community.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, there's plenty of places to live that aren't gated where you could let leaves accumulate for a lifetime. That's Oregon, for instance.
The entire
I mean, he state. Couldn't be the senator of Kentucky living in Oregon, but that's a detail, Leon. But I'm sure there's a spot for him somewhere.
There's a spot in Kentucky for people who don't want to rake their leaves. So, okay. Well, that's it could happen to any of us, really.
I think that's true. I think things boil over these really trivial things.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it can happen. So HOA, HE double hockey sticks.
All right. Well, on the good news front, let me just tell you about our thriller performance last Tuesday night. You know, I have been working on this thriller dance with my dance troupe for about 10 weeks. We got a chance to perform it. And I just want to say it was a hoot. I mean, I can't believe how much fun we had. Because
that's so great.
It was totally packed. Like this, even though it was the sixth game of the World Series and the Dodgers were playing, it didn't matter. Angelinos were out in force and we were doing it at a private home. It was our dance teacher's like great aunt's house. She was in the front room, 95-year-old great aunt in the front room, but she owned this house on a beautiful residential street in the Los Feliz neighborhood for like 75 years. And I mean, our dance teacher, God bless him, his parents, his sister, who he also dances with, they were all on board. They had a stage. We had lights. We had lasers. We had a fog machine. We had a curtain we came out of. Oh, yeah. We had a top-notch sound system. I mean, I thought it was just going to be us on the front lawn. Like, I did not anticipate the showmanship, the show businessness of the whole thriller dance. And
well, you do live in LA, Leon. So I know you have a higher level of Halloween than many places, right?
That's true, Julie. And people appreciated it. That was the other great thing. There was a sign on the stage, like performances every half hour. And so people would wait, you know, stand out in front of the stage, wait for 10 or 15 minutes, stop their trick-or-treating to wait for the dance. And our dance teacher and his sister, who do dance together as ballroom dancers, they came out and did a whole Janet and Michael thing. And he looked really like Michael Jackson. It was unbelievable, his makeup and everything. And that was fun. And then we came out and did the Thriller dance. And people just started cheering when they hear the music. And then you like kind of turn. There's just one move where you turn to the audience and, you know, you shake your hips and people just went nuts. And at the 8:30 show, there must have been 200 people watching us. I am not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So every show we had like 40 or 50 people. But at the 8:30 show, that was our peak. It was our best show. There were 200 people. And it was unbelievable.
Way to go, sister.
It was so much fun. So if it ever occurs to you to perform something in public that you think I can't do that, do it. It was super fun. And I want to encourage you to wear zombie makeup because no one knows who you are. So
that's helpful.
Now, I know there is a video. I have not watched it. And you know why? Because I think I look like Janet Jackson when I'm dancing. So I don't know. I have to contemplate whether I want to share it publicly. And I don't, I'm not doing that to torture people. It's just to, you know, it's just personally, I like to think that I look fantastic. And I know I didn't do a single dance where I did perfectly the whole time. You know, every dance I made one tiny mistake here or there. But it didn't matter because it was dark and we were in zombie makeup. So it was fantastic. But it was really fun, really worth the effort. It was a ton of fun to do. Thank the good people of Los Feliz for coming out. I mean, the little kids were like genuinely scared by the zombies and it was just a hoot. It was really a lot of fun. And then
congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Exciting.
Thank you. And then a little kitchen update. We're moving along. We had to buy a new refrigerator this weekend. Breaking news. I'm getting a matching refrigerator. Never had one. So it's pretty exciting.
Lynn, your life is really complete now.
I know. It's a style upgrade for me. But we have always had like a full size side by side refrigerator. Okay. It's a Kenmore. We've had the same refrigerator, the same version of the refrigerator for 25 years of our marriage. And so now it's hard to find side by side refrigerators. Now the French doors are all the rage, or the four door French door units, or the refrigerator, the freezer on the bottom. And now they make counter depth ones so they don't stick out like ours does. And so I really had to search my soul, like, are we ready to move down to a smaller refrigerator? Is that what our life is like now? Smaller amounts of food, you know, less big meals, less entertaining. Can I live with the freezer on the bottom? How do I feel about an ice maker in the door? And do I need...
That's very deep.
It's high.
You have to answer a lot of questions, Lynn.
So...
Did you hire a refrigerator consultant to help you on this, or
Julie,
a refrigerator mediator, perhaps?
Julie, my mother-in-law, she's an A number one consumer of Consumer Reports. So we logged into Consumer Reports. I did my research. I went to reviewer.com. We in person, we looked at six or seven, and then we went back one more time and we had a refrigerator salesman. I said to my husband, I go, I think he went out to lunch, did some cocaine, and then came back to sell us a refrigerator because he was out of his mind. He just started, these are all the counter depths. He just started opening doors and slamming ice machines and this and that. And I was just, he was nuts. And like after he gave us a tour of like 10 countertop refrigerators, I was like, I can't, I need a break. I need a break, Chris. And then he completely forgot he had spoken to us and did the whole thing again. I was like, Chris, I got to get out of here. I can't buy a refrigerator from meth head Chris. We have got to get out of here. And you know what? We just went back to Sears. I said, we have loved that Kenmore. The Kenmores are well reviewed. We don't need a fancier refrigerator. We just need the same refrigerator in a matching color. But Julie, you know what happened? We walked in, open box special for the top of the line Kenmore refrigerator. I couldn't be happier. I feel like
it was destined. Okay, Lynn.
It was destined. It was destined.
Your husband cannot resist an open
box
special.
He can't. That's it. Those are magic words to him. So that's it. It's a little bit smaller refrigerator. It's the freezer's on the bottom, but I think I can live with it. I think I can work with this and adapt my new lifestyle around my fridge.
Take tiny steps with the lifestyle change, Lee, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Jill.
Okay, well, two quick things. Speaking of lifestyle change, I have one super fast Operation Sea Turtle announcement, which is Operation Sea Turtle 2018 starts today, sisters, today. I realized that if I don't start next year's Operation Sea Turtle this year, I'm going to really regret it next year. So I'm buckling down.
Okay. I don't even understand that, Liz, but okay.
Well, yeah, I'm just going to, I got to like buckle down before the holidays. Cause if you sort of drift through the holidays, yes, not exercising, eating too much, then you just get way behind for January.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. And partly because I have a little trip, more on that later, planned for January that involves a wetsuit. So I think if you're planning to be wearing a wetsuit in January, you need to work on yourself starting in November. That's number one. The number two thing for Operation Sea Turtle, I decided I needed a specific goal, like something I could accomplish. And here's what I want to accomplish. It's very simple. I want to be one of those people that can get out of the pool by just pushing myself up and like sitting on the pool deck and then standing up. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
I know. It requires a lot of upper body strength.
Yeah, and strong wrists. I mean, seriously.
But I look at a lot of the women in my water aerobics class, they can do it. So if they can do it, I can do it. But I'm giving myself a year to accomplish that. I don't want to put
so
too much
So if you see on. Liz sort of half in, half out of a pool near you, just give her a kick or a shove.
Well, you know, you get that beached whale look when you can't, you're kind of rolling onto the pool deck. That's not good. So it will require some practice.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
So that's it. That's my long-term physical goal, is being able to pull myself out of the pool. Okay, now just a few Facebook notes from you, because we love the fact that so many of you have joined our Facebook group. Remember, like our Facebook page and join the Facebook group. So three messages I wanted to shout out to this week. Samantha, we really love everything you post. We just like, you've got the right spirit for the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. The photo you posted this week of the tulle wrapped hoodie, I'm still laughing every time I look at that. And I assumed that was fake. Many people are responding to it as if it was a real thing. I don't care, Samantha. I just enjoyed that. Number two, Angela posted a very funny Daylight Saving Time cartoon.
I loved
it.
It
captured exactly the way I felt, right? We all feel that way.
Yep.
That it's like, you know, 6 p.m. and you think it's midnight. And then finally,
That was funny.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then, Leanne, did you see what Amy posted? Amy said that last week she took caffeine to a whole new level. She steeped a bag of chai in her cup of coffee. And she said, I felt like Wonder Woman and maybe a little like Tasmanian Devil. And she posted a very cute picture of herself where she kind of looks like a cross between Wonder Woman and the Tasmanian Devil. So thank you, Samantha, Angela, and Amy, and everyone else who posts in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. So there you have it, sisters.
All right, what's happening this week? Anybody got anything big happening?
Yes, I am speaking. I'm doing a speaking gig on Friday to a very nice organization that focuses on women's friendships. How about that, Liam? That sounds good.
Good.
I feel like I'm going to have the right kind of audience for the Satellite Sister message. So
I'm
looking forward to that.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm just sea turtling, getting a grip, getting on the straight and narrow, the sea turtle straight and narrow. How about you, Leon? Anything?
Just waiting for the guys to bring back our kitchen cabinets. So that's exciting. Just one day at a time. Yeah, hoping to get some sinks soon. But other than that, we're all good. We're all good. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on Satellite Sisters. Remember, Satellite Sisters Talk TV posts at a different feed. That's over at Satellite Sisters Talk TV at Stitcher or Apple Podcasts. Julie and I will be recapping Madam Secretary and Pole Dark this week. Explosive Pole Dark.
I know.
Super sad. Super mean. I hate George. I hate him, Julie. I hate him.
All right. That's why I listen to the recaps.
All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget to call your Satellite Sister.